We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. How are you doing today? Today, we are talking about Rutherford County, and our county mayor, Joe Carr, is with us today. Joe, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We always have to start off with the honey report.
Yes, honey report.
Are we in the end of the season for honey?
Or? Yeah, the harvest, the harvest is over. There are some beekeepers who do what's called a fall pull, and it's a really interesting honey because it's usually a lot of wildflower, and it's a darker, more amber honey, as opposed to the spring, which is typically black locust and clover, which is a lighter, milder. The fall, because of the wildflower, the goldenrod and that kind of thing, it's got a little more of a bite to it. And I quite honestly like it better because it's different. A lot of people don't like it, but it's extremely difficult. It's more difficult to pull for two reasons. Number one, there's not as much nectar flow, so you don't get very much. But number two, and more importantly, this is the honey that the bees need to overwinter with. So if you pull this honey, you run the risk of starving your hive through the winter. So you have to be extremely careful about doing that. So I typically don't pull in the fall. I've pulled one time and a very, very small amount just to get a taste of it, but I typically don't pull in the fall. I leave that to the bees.
Now, if you did do that out of lack of knowledge or something and you got some of those warning signs, is there something you can give them to help them through the winter? Or?
Yes. So what I spend my fall doing is after I've pulled all the honey supers, and this is very, very important, and some beekeepers don't do this. They feed their hive sugar water, and the bees will make honey out of the sugar water. But that's really not honey. That's sugar water that they've crystallized in the form of honey. Honey comes from the nectar in the community. And a lot of people buy the honey for the local pollen that they get from the flower and the trees that are in that community. It helps with their allergies and things like that. Some beekeepers, not many, but some do feed sugar water to boost the production of their hive, and they sell that as honey. I absolutely don't do that. When I pull my supers off, I don't feed my bees until my honey supers are off the hive. And then once I pull the honey supers, I'll come in about within 30 days, and I'll start feeding the bees because you've essentially robbed them of all their honey stores. And there's what's called a dearth period. That is, there's a period of about 60 days that begins middle of June, 1st of July, that lasts about 60 days where there's, around here in Middle Tennessee, there is very little pollen and nectar for the bees to feed on. So it's important that once you pull your honey supers and you start to process that you start to feed the bees so they can have something to eat and get ready for the fall and the winter.
More people are getting involved in raising bees, and I want to remind you a good place to go is the Rutherford County Beekeepers.
Yes, and that the president of that is Zane Cantrell, and Zane does a Mr. Elrod is the president of that association now. Zane has been the past president, Zane and Mr. Elrod and his wife are now coordinate that, and they do a great job. And if you want to just learn about it to determine if it's something you want to invest in, I strongly encourage you to become a member of the local Beekeepers Association.
They meet the first Monday night, 7 o'clock, over at the Lane Agri-Park. First Monday night will be October the 7th.
Yes. So, and I would encourage, if you're interested, please attend. It's fascinating. There's always a lively discussion and a topic. And beekeepers are world-renowned for being quite vocal in their, in voicing their opinion.
They have opinions
on
things?
Are you kidding? Each beekeeper has two, three, maybe eight different opinions on the same topic.
Why? And does it change?
Oh, it can. It can absolutely change. But beekeepers, their nature is they're passionate about what they're doing. They want to do a good job. They love the process, and they see the importance of bees in the horticultural community. So
when
it's great.
Did you get involved in beekeeping?
I've been a beekeeper only 4 years.
Oh, really? I thought you were going to tell me forever.
No, I'm relatively new at it, but if those who know me, Bart, know that when I decide to do something, I don't stick my toe in. I find the deep blue water, and I cannonball my way right into it. And so before the end of my first year, I already had 11, 12 hives. By the end of my second year, I had 24 hives. By the end of my third year, I had over 30 hives.
So that's a full-time job.
Yes, and so I have throttled back to about 20 hives.
That's still a lot of hives.
It is, but I was in the bee yard this weekend checking on the hives. I had one hive that absconded, and so there were some bees left, and so I merged it with another hive that was weaker to help it through the winter. So I enjoy working the hive and making sure that they get through the winter, because that's real important, because the work you do now is going to have a big effect on your honey production in the next spring.
Are they sort of like bears going into hibernation and they won't come out until, you know, early spring?
Yeah, and so, boy, we're just having a bee conversation. So there are really two types of bees. There are spring and summer bees that live about 6 weeks because they literally work themselves to death. And then there are fall and winter bees that live about 4 to 6 months. And because they stay in the hive and they're to take care of the hive, and they don't typically come out unless the temperature is above 55, 60 degrees. And they, during the winter, they come out not to forage. They will forage a little bit. There's a little bit going on in late January and February, but they're trying to clean out the hive, because if they get stuck in the hive through a period of cold, wet weather, they'll stay in the hive for a week or longer, and then they need to clean out the hive. So they'll leave the hive when it gets to above 55, 60 degrees to clean out the hive.
You could almost relate the life of a bee to the things that happen in government these days.
you can. I wish we could. I wish the government would act more like a beehive than it does. But yes, you can. When government's working well, it reminds me of a beehive. It does.
So a beehive is a well-organized communicating community.
Yes, and I think I've shared this on the program before, but a lot of people mistakenly believe that the queen is in charge of the hive. She is like the dictator, if you will, or she's the queen. Well, that's really not quite accurate. The queen serves at the pleasure of the collective. The collective chooses the queen. And if the queen can't perform her duties, the collective will remove the queen and they'll find another queen. So
that's pretty much like politics.
It's all when you brought up politics and government, it's true. When the people determine that the leader that they've chosen is no longer functioning in that capacity, per their will, they will remove, and rightfully so, that person that they've elected to office. And they go, we need somebody else that will benefit and serve the purpose of the collective. And so it's the hive that selects the queen. The hive takes care of the queen, but the hive also selects the queen. And if the queen can't do her job, they will kill her, and they'll run her off. And they'll get a new one.
That's scary. I mean, if they don't like what she's doing, not only is she ousted from her job, she's killed.
Well, well, she's run off, in which effectively means she dies. Yeah. So now sometimes the hive, a healthy hive, a really healthy hive, will what they call split. And that's when the queen in the hive decides that the hive is too crowded, the hive is too large for the box that it's in, or where it's homed, and so they'll divide. And so 30, 40, maybe even 50, as much as 50% of the bees and that queen will leave, but not before those bees have already laid a queen cell for a new queen to come out. And so that old queen leaves, they go find another hive, and then that existing hive now has a new queen.
Now, if we were to relate this to one of our bigger problems here in Rutherford County, tell us how it would play out. Like the situation at Middle Point Landfill, the transfer station, things of that sort. If those were beehives, what would we be seeing? And what, I mean, we could learn from this.
Yeah, we could. I think it's an interesting analogy because that has been an ongoing issue. I think the difference between the hive and, let's say, our county commission or even the electorate is that the bees, the worker bees, are work in unison, and they have a single purpose, and that there's not any infighting within the hive. The hive is the hive. It is a I don't want to say synchronized, but the hive acts in unison. So within government and within the people, we don't act in unison, which creates the challenges for government to work well. We may even believe the same thing about what the solution would be, but we may believe very differently on how to enact that solution or the process related to that solution. The hive doesn't do that. The hive believes this is what we have to do, this is the way we're going to do it, and now we're all going to act in unison to beat that goal.
So the
analogy breaks down a little bit because, as you know, elected officials have a lot of competing interests when it comes to implementing the policies that they think are important.
With a hive, those people are workers.
Yes.
They are not setting out as a goal to take over, to impose their
thoughts. No. As a matter of fact, there are different stages in the life of a worker bee. When a worker bee hatches out, the first thing it does for the first few days is it takes care of the hive and new bees. And then as it matures and grows, it starts to leave the hive. In the latter stages of its life, it collects pollen and nectar. And it literally at that point, when it's starting to collect, it works itself to death. And it will not die in the hive. It knows that it's going to die, and it'll die somewhere away from the hive.
Each person who makes it into politics, they usually have a pretty strong opinion on things themselves, and they...
Did you just say that each person who's in politics has a pretty strong opinion of themselves?
I didn't... If it came out that way, that's...
No, I'm twisting... I'm intentionally twisting your words, Mark, for the listeners.
If they were looking at... They each one are a chief.
Yes.
In their mind.
Yes.
And so you don't have worker
that's where
bees.
The Yeah, and that's where the analogy breaks down. There is this, let me give you an idea, and you'll agree with this, and I'm a victim of this, as an elected official, state legislature 6 years, ran to the United States Senate, now county mayor. You know, unfortunately, and I will confess, your ego gets in the way. It does. I've confessed that's not a secret. I've admitted that before, but I'm not unique as an elected official. And that's the biggest challenge for me as an elected official, is don't let my ego get in the way. Don't let politics ever govern policy, ever. Because when politics governs policy, what you're saying is my personal self-worth, my value, how I perceive myself is the most important thing as it relates to the process or the policy. With regard to bees, there is no ego. There is none. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing is they all are perfect in harmony with each other, and they know what the purpose is. They know what their life purpose is. For a bee, there is no, what is my purpose in life? They're born with a purpose, they know what the purpose is, and they die with that purpose. For us as humans, when we get into politics, you constantly struggle with that purpose, if that makes any sense. And so when your personal motivations, your ego, your feelings, your pride get involved, it can have a negative effect on the outcome of the very thing we're trying to serve, if that makes any sense.
And so there's really no way for this to run true to form. You cannot be like a beehive because we're people who are driven by egos.
I think you're right there, Bart. Now, having said that, we still can learn from God's creation, which is what we're talking about. We're talking about a beehive, but we can learn from God's creation because I believe, as a Christian, as a person who tries every day to put their armor on. I mean, the word says in Ephesians, put your armor on. And so I literally try to put my armor on every day, not so I can so much change the world, but so I can meet the demands that the world is placing on me in a place where I'm not advancing my own personal agenda. Does that make sense?
It does. We have a text here from a listener who says, I like your description of the bees and the county commission, basically. What should we do to get the county commission more in harmony, where they're more in tune with each other and doing what's best for the entire county?
I think not just the county commission, but the county mayor, our state delegation, our congressional delegation, all levels of government would benefit with the citizenry getting engaged. And sometimes all that means is sending them a text if you have their cell phone number, sending them an email, picking up the phone and calling them, and making an effort to say, you know what, I appreciate your service. Thank you for being willing to step up. But I want you to know, we're watching and we're listening because what you do is important. And I believe that you get more with honey, no pun intended, Vart, than you do with vinegar. So I would encourage them with affirmation. And what I mean by that is I appreciate what you're doing, but I want you to tone down the negative rhetoric. Maybe stop on the personal attacks, or, you know, though that's not who we are as a community. So remember, you know, and this is the other thing, process is important, but process always serves the policy or the purpose, always. And sometimes in government, we think the rules and the regulations are so important, they're more important than what we're trying to accomplish. And the Apostle Paul told the church at Galatia, he said, was man made for the law, or was law made for man? And so it's the same thing in government. Are the rules and the process made for the people, or are the people made for the rules and the process? And I would argue convincingly that process is to serve the will of the people. And sometimes we get that backwards, and that's a challenge.
Here's an interesting question from a listener who says they've been watching this unfold for several years here in Rutherford County, the Middle Point landfill issue. And they are almost convinced that sometimes business has to make a profit. Always business has to make a profit. They underline that. And they're concerned maybe we haven't given the other team a chance to do what they can do. It looks as if they are trying to do better. Do we ever give up on each other? And tell us what's happening with the thermal transfer. And if the other side, the Republic Services side, was allowed to stay in business, what would there be a need for the transfer station?
So, two things. The issue with Middle Point Landfill is that, and I've had their regional president, vice president at Atlanta, in my office on three separate occasions, and we stipulated that a issue for Rutherford County, I heard this over and over again and overwhelmingly from the citizens of Rutherford County, that the line in the sand was we no longer wanted outside waste outside of Rutherford County coming into our community. That was the line. And because right now this county receives over 500,000 tons every year of waste from Davidson County and other counties. We've been receiving that solid waste, over 500,000 tons a year, from outside the county for years. And it has created a blight up there in Walter Hill. Excuse me. And we are not opposed as a community to handling our own solid waste here in Rutherford County. We just no longer want to be Davidson County, Nashville's landfill. And we are. And I tried on a couple of three different occasions to enter into a negotiation with Republic about a Rutherford County only facility, wherein only Rutherford County Solid Waste could go to Middle Point. And on three different occasions, they said no. And I said, fine. I said, I'm acting at the will of the people. Either we have, either we take care of Rutherford County's trash only, or the Republic, when they're full, will not be able to continue with the expansion of their current facility.
There's an interesting, I'd never thought of this one. They said, what happened to the old saying, this is your bed, you made it, you sleep in it.
What's that referring to?
Well, I think they're referring to the county's the one that agreed to the terms, and they've given the terms, so they signed a contract.
That's correct. That's correct. And so we signed the county, Mayor Nancy Allen in 1995 signed an agreement. It was ratified by the commission 21-0, and it basically gave Republic Services the ability to deposit as much trash as they want from wherever they want, whatever they want, whenever they want, without any oversight from Rutherford County until that landfill was full. That landfill now is going to be full, according to Republic, on or about July 2027. And so because they are insistent, Republic Services insistent on bringing trash from Davidson County, Nashville, into Rutherford County, and because the voters are equally insistent as I and not continuing that agreement when it's full, we are making arrangements with a transfer station to accommodate the trash solid waste needs of this community once that landfill is full.
And in reality, you're just prolonging the filling of the landfill. It'll last longer, but that's, I guess, not costing Republic any more money, because whether you're putting trash into the landfill or not, Republic still has to physically be here on the scene working the landfill, whether they're putting things in or not.
They are required by TDEC regulation to maintain that landfill in a what's called a post-closure status. So once Republic or Middle Point closes, and closes means they're no longer receiving bearing trash at that facility, once they're doing that, they go into what's called a post-closure status. And they've got, I believe, an $80-85 million bond with TDEC to ensure that they maintain that landfill according to TDEC regulations for a period of 50 years. So even though they won't be accepting trash at the landfill once it closes, they have to maintain that landfill for 50 years. And that's the purpose of that bond.
What do you think is going to happen now?
Well,
you have a better insight. You're closer than anybody.
I know that Republic is doing a very effective job of persuading some members of the community and some members of the commission that Rutherford County needs to sell our old landfill so that Republic can then have the land area between our old landfill and their landfill, which is called the V, that valley. And if they get control of our old landfill and they have access to that V, then by Republic's own words, they will extend the life of that landfill by 30 to 50 years, which means we will be held hostage to Republic and Nashville-Davidson County's trash for the next 2 to 3 generations. I don't think that's a good idea. I think if Davidson County wants a place to haul their trash, they should find another location other than Rutherford County. And it's really that simple. This is about Davidson County trash. It's not about Rutherford County trash. It's about Davidson County trash. Do we want Davidson County trash in our community? I do not.
The big question, and we will look at that big question in a moment, who decides? Who decides on where the garbage goes? We will be right back.
Your Atlanta Braves station.
Hey, this is Ben Ingram. Thanks for listening to the home of Atlanta Braves baseball, News Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro, Smyrna.
Hi, this is Jenny with Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Ryan's has been here for almost 100 years serving the community. I feel so blessed when families ask us to help them say goodbye to their family. I do everything that I can to make it just perfect for your final goodbye. Give us a call, and we'll make that memorial tribute for your loved one and family. Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts, 615-893-7134. 117 South Academy Street.
This is Peter Demas. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. A lot of times when you get steamed vegetables such as broccoli or cauliflower, it's either soggy. One of the things that we wanted to do was make certain that it was still soft, but still had a little bit of a crunch to it. And so we worked on the procedure of how to cook that. And then all of our vegetables are seasoned with our seasoned salt. We keep that seasoned salt at home, and I can tell you almost all the vegetables I cook at home have the seasoned salt on it. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. We have all the items needed to spoil your pet, toys, food, treats, and more. Whether you're a new pet parent or a very experienced one, you'll find the items and help you need here at Animal City. We are proud and thankful to be celebrating our 33rd year in the Murfreesboro community. That's Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street, right here in Murfreesboro. Please check out our Facebook page.
Mostly cloudy skies in store for this afternoon, along with scattered showers and storms, high temperatures in the upper 70s. Still a chance for storms tonight in 61. I'm meteorologist Michael Caron, News Radio WGNS. Right now at 66.
From lift kits to tires, Tire World has the experts and the knowledge to get it done.
This is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We're your local Rough Country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World on Memorial Boulevard.
I happened to glance up, and the clear sky was gone.
Coast to coast, all night, every night.
All I could see was something round and black.
On WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Welcome back. Happy birthday to Shandon Smith, age 14. The winner today of that delicious banana pudding from our friends at the Slick Pig Barbecue. And our good neighbor of the day is Mitchell Murfree. Mitchell Murfree receives beautiful flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. They too can make your friends happy by sending a gift or flowers. Just get with them at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Our county mayor is with us this morning, Joe Carr. If you have a question for Joe, give us a shout, 615-893-1450, talk or text. Seems to be that the popular mode is texting these days, so all we ask is you don't do it when you're driving.
Amen.
Pull over and stop.
Yeah, a lot of accidents when you do that.
Yeah, very true. 615-893-1450, you can talk or text. You are in control on that one. 615-893-1450. And we're talking mostly right now, seems to be the topic is dealing with the landfill and the folks at Middle Point are saying...
Can I go on just a... Can we
sure.
come back to that for just in just a second?
Sure.
I want to mention something. So I get here, the listeners don't know, but when I get here about five minutes early, and Bart is always doing the birthdays, which I'm always interested to know if I know somebody. And I want to talk about one birthday for just a minute,
sure.
If that's okay.
Absolutely.
This is your show, but I want to interrupt if I might.
Yeah.
Jack Weatherford super guy. He is celebrating his 100th birthday.
I didn't realize
yes.
it was number
and
100.
And I don't want to walk out of here without your listeners knowing who this wonderful man is and his family, his wife Mary, and of course everybody knows Ben and the family. They are a wonderful family. He's been involved with MTSU. They were involved with the Airport Authority up in Smyrna. A brilliant finance mind here in our community, and he is celebrating his 100th birthday this week. And so, Jack, to you and all your family, if you don't mind, Bart, happy birthday to you! What a wonderful, wonderful man he is, and to this community. His legacy obviously lives on in his children, and I just think the world of this family and what they've done to this community. So if you don't mind, Bart,
glad you did that. I didn't realize it was his birthday, but he would do anything for anybody.
A fine, fine Christian man. I mean, you talk about somebody walking the walk. That man did and does every day. And his legacy for what he's done for this community will live on for generations. And You know, it's people like that. You know, we often talk about on your show, Bart, just the good neighbor of this station. Jack Weatherford is that good neighbor. He is that
good
neighbor.
Can you imagine in 100 years what he has seen?
Oh, almost like that sycamore tree, right?
That's right. That sycamore tree, I'm glad you brought that up because we had some folks bring that up. We just haven't gotten to that question. But it was sort of a bittersweet Friday Night Live this last week with the lights, the phone lights and everything that people were showing while the songs were playing. Because you could see that tree and you knew it wasn't going to be with us much longer.
Not much longer.
But you had great memories.
But it's, you know, and the memories are what's important. And the memories then create the opportunity for the legacy, if that makes any sense. That's some word salad, isn't it? Good Lord, Joe. What kind of word salad was that? Reminds me of somebody else. Never mind. But I guess the point I'm making is I want to look, I talked to Greg Tucker, our county historian, and he said, you know, the focus needs to be on looking forward. And Scott Broden wrote a really wonderful article in the Sunday paper about the tree and the looking forward and how, you know, the plan is to take what's called cuttings or graftings and then propagate those so that we can have a genetically identical tree replace that tree. And Jack Carter, our landscape guy around the square, has already taken some cuttings from that tree, and we have already got some developing roots from those cuttings. So we're very, very optimistic this is actually going to work out and work out very, very well. So, you know, the legacy of that tree will continue, and so the memories will continue to be made. I'm excited for the future, regretting that we got to take it down. But the tree will live on.
And you were talking about you're going to plant one of those seedlings right there where that one was.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to let the tree develop for a few years so it has a best opportunity to survive. But when it gets to be of size, you know, 15 feet, 12, 15 feet or so, whenever that is, I can see us moving that tree and putting it right in the exact location of where that sycamore tree is, because it'll be genetically identical.
You know what would be so neat is to take a lot of those seedlings, because there's no limit as to how many you do grow.
That's correct.
And you could put one at each of our county locations. As we put the fire departments around.
Really a great idea.
As you put the manager, the waste systems around.
Yes.
I mean, it just brings the whole county together.
See, now we're, this is what talk radio is all about. So every Rutherford County public building would have a tree. And because once you take a cutting from that tree, then you can take a cutting from that tree and from that tree. So the genetics of that tree are propagated throughout the entire county.
It shows how strong our county
Amen.
Is.
Amen.
And we're all working together.
I love that idea. That is a great idea. Thank you.
We'll just have fun with it.
We will. We can do this in what I call perpetuity.
Now, speaking of these, I see these facilities opening up. The fire stations,
mm-hmm. Public
which
safety
also
buildings.
Have places where you can renew your driver's license and different attractions. How many do we have
so,
now?
Yeah, let me give a huge shout out to Commissioner Chairman Pettus Reed for having the vision to put this together. He fought for this along with some other county commissioners for years, and it finally, the opportunity presented itself when, unfortunately, because of COVID, there was some COVID grant money that the county received, and we used a significant, almost a majority of that money for this purpose. And so these public safety buildings are for fire, EMS, health department, and storm shelter. And so, unfortunately, the price has gone up. What was originally supposed to be $5.5 to $6 million is now about $8 million. But we have located our public health and safety buildings in, let's see, the first one was Rockvale that opened, and then the second one was Kittrell. The third was Las Casas. The fourth was Walter Hill. And then the fifth one is out at Plainview, where the Plainview School is in Christiana. And they are starting construction of that facility now. So, and that will be the last of the five. And there's another one that's coming online for, that was going to be out in Del Webb at 96, but we're going to move to Almaville. But that won't be using any ARPA money.
Here's an interesting question. This one deals with the 114th Tennessee General Assembly that reconvenes January the 14th, or convenes. This will be the first time, I believe, on this one. January the 14th. What does that look like as far as Rutherford County is concerned?
Say that again. I'm sorry. I got distracted, Bart.
The General Assembly will be reconvening, and the 114th one it is this round. It comes along January the 14th. What does that look like for Rutherford County?
Well, our...
Because you've gotten sort of a cold shoulder.
Well, we did, but you know something, we did. We did not get what we wanted, but we... But that happens. You win some, you lose some. And you can't keep fighting battles that... sometimes you just need to move on. And while the issue is still there, I'm making an attempt to reach out to the home builders, the realtors, and developers and say, you know, you guys live here too. You're an incredibly value add to this community. What you do is important to this community. How can we work together? And we're actually, I've talked to the president of the Home Builders Association on several occasions, and we're actually trying to figure out ways on things we can work together to solve the problem in maybe a little different way. And so I think we're going to have a more productive session coming up that's going to benefit Rutherford County. And I think we're going to find that the leadership of the county and the leadership of the home building, real estate, and development community are going to find areas where they can work together. Because at the end of the day, Bart, they live here. They love their community, like just like everybody else. They just have a different approach to solving the same problem. And sometimes, like two brothers, you know, we get in a pretty significant fight, but we're still part of the same family. And when that fight's over, we come together and we move forward. And that's what we're going to do.
And the whole purpose, let me be sure I'm understanding it correctly, the whole purpose is to find money to build the infrastructure, the schools, the roads, add firemen, policemen, things of that sort, ambulance drivers, because of the need brought on by the tremendous growth in the community.
Right. So, and so these are the growth as demonstrated by the growth of our schools is significant. I mean, like last night at the health and ed committee meeting, Dr. Sullivan, director of county schools, was making the statement, you know, we're now over 52,000 students, and the fastest growing segment of the student population, new student population growth in Rutherford County, is ESL students, English second language. Well, that's a direct result of all the immigration from the Biden-Harris administration. I mean, they're literally moving immigrants, legal and illegal, into our community. We don't know about it until they show up and they can't speak English. And so I think, Dr. Sullivan, we need 19 new ESL teachers, English second language teachers.
Is just, that 19 different languages?
No, that's 19 new ESL teachers to meet the demand of what's occurring as a result of the immigration policies.
How many languages do we have?
I don't know, several. I would imagine, like if it's like Davidson County, several dozen. But the fastest growing language is Arabic, believe it or not. Yeah, I thought it would have been Hispanic. But it's not. It's Arabic, according to Dr. Sullivan.
Interesting. And, of course, we were looking at bringing in qualified teachers in that area. All right. Tell you what let's do. Let's pause for just a moment. We will be back and continue the conversation. And I'll let you get prepared on this one. We've had some questions dealing with the Forensic Center. They say, we need one badly. How soon can we get it?
Amen to that.
Hey there, Rutherford County. It's Rick and Bubba, and we are pumped to be on WGNS.
Weekdays, 11 a.m. until 2 on News Radio WGNS.
Rick and Bubba. Rick and Bubba.
We're
excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here, and so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We chose Adams Place for the security.
We're talking with Peggy Cunningham. What do you enjoy most about Adams Place?
They lock the doors at 8 o'clock at night, and you have to have a code to get in, so I feel very safe when I go to sleep.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
On Memorial.
Across from Walmart.
Mostly cloudy skies in store for this afternoon, along with scattered showers and storms. High temperatures in the upper 70s. Still a chance for storms tonight in 61. I'm meteorologist Michael Caron, News Radio WGNS. Right now it's 66.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450. Online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
We're back again, the final segment, and that means if you have a question for our county mayor, Joe Carr, you better get it to us quickly. We only have about 5 minutes left, and you'll be one of those sitting, why didn't I get that earlier? We're talking in this point, a listener brings up the question about the dramatic need for the Forensic Center. You have a location, we just don't have anything at that location, I don't guess.
Well, we've got up on Weekly Lane and G Street in Smyrna, which is next to the old Seward Air Force Base, which is now the Smyrna Rutherford County Airport Authority. We've got 17 acres, and currently at that location, we have a new convenience center for the residents of northern part of Rutherford County, including Smyrna, as well as Lisa Kroll has a clerk's office there. And so we have about 10 acres left that's available, and we would like to put Tennessee's 6th Regional Forensic Center at that location. The County Commission has already dedicated almost $1 million in design and engineering fees. So Klein and Associates currently is designing a forensic center. What we have yet to do is secure the funding to build that for much, much needed forensic center. And it's a serious health need up there. And in addition to that forensic center, we also want to put on that facility another EMS station. We need better response time in that area as well. So what I hope to be able to do come the first of the year is bring to the County Commission a proposal for how we're going to pay for both the Forensic Center, the construction of the Forensic Center, as well as a construction for an EMS station. And my goal and anticipation would be to do that without a property tax increase and without having to borrow the money. That is the goal. So we have done a pretty good job of investing and taking care of being what I think is being good stewards with the county's resources. And it's my goal to present to the county an opportunity to pay for this out of some funds that we have found.
Now, if you look at the ones in other parts of the state, I know the one in Davidson County is privately owned.
That is correct. It's owned by Path Group, which is a company out of Chicago.
Are the others private or are they public?
They're all public. Some are owned and operated by the county, and some are owned and operated. The other four are owned and operated through a cooperative arrangement with the university system. So Johnson City is operated by East Tennessee. I believe Memphis is operated by University of Memphis, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken there. But Knoxville and Chattanooga are operated by the local county government, and ours would be operated by the local county government. And the justification for this is, there are a number of justifications for this, is that right now we take all of our autopsies to Nashville-Davidson County. But the Nashville-Davidson County facility is horribly at over capacity. The delays are significant, and they service about 64 out of the 95 counties in the state. And we send more autopsies to Nashville, Davidson County than any other county in the state, with the exception of Davidson County. And so if they lose a pathologist or a pathologist quits, what is Rutherford going to do? Where are we going to send our autopsies? Because that's a really big deal when it comes to death investigations for law enforcement. It's a huge issue.
Is there any grant money available to?
We are looking both state and federal for some grant money. That would be in grant funding that would be available. We are cautiously optimistic there may be something come available in December, but you know, I've been optimistic before about funding from the state, only to be disappointed. So I'm certainly not going to make any predictions. I just know, regardless of where the funding comes from, you know, this is a serious need. And if the county decided that this was that important, we could fund the construction of this facility without raising property taxes and without borrowing the money. And we could reduce our reoccurring expenses as it relates to operating the forensic center from over $1 million. We could reduce that by $500,000 a year. So we'd actually improve operation and reduce spending on reoccurring basis.
We have just a few seconds left. What's it going to take to put that in the forefront, the number one goal to push it forward?
I need 11 votes out of the county commission.
There you go.
It's real simple.
We want to say thank you to our county mayor, Joe Carr.
It's a pleasure to serve, Bart. It really is. I enjoy this job very much. I love the people and the community. It's a wonderful place to live and work.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
Stay with us. Chip is next. And I think a buddy of mine is going to be on with him.